Welcome to the 24/7 Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Josh talks about how we can understand the times and seasons through God's Word. We hope that the following message blesses you and your family. Enjoy.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. So good to have all of you here today. We are excited for what the Lord is doing, and we're excited for our children who are in the room here with us. I just want to say really quickly, Pastor Chrissy, Mrs. Blue, would you just wave at everybody? If you have any questions about the Christmas box, she's the one to get with. You need to get with her. She has all the answers to all of the questions, and she's just amazing and resourceful like that. So we're so glad to have her as part of this, and we're so excited and grateful for the work that she is doing with our amazing children. Would you just bless the children with me right now? Lord, we thank you and we praise you for these amazing kids, Lord, that are your treasures, Lord, that you have called for such a time as this. Lord, we pray that you would continue to equip them and empower them and prepare them, Lord, for their destiny and for the purpose that you have designated and assigned for them. I pray that they would come to know you fully and that they would be filled with your presence each and every day. Thank you, Lord, that they may be rooted and grounded in your love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Children, you may go to your class. Mrs. Blue is right in the back there. She's ready to take you to your class. All right. Well, for those of us who are here, I walked out this morning and it felt a little cooler. You know, I was happy for that. I don't know, probably by right about now, it's not as cool, but we were thankful for the extra hour of sleep for those who got it. For those who didn't know what to do and got up really early this morning, you know, it just didn't work out. I'm sorry, but glad that you made it here today. I'm wondering if some of you are here because you thought it was, you know, anyway, never mind. I'm glad y'all got here. Some of you, that might have been the first time you experienced the first part of the service. That's okay. Just teasing. For those who are joining us online, thank you for being here today, and we're so grateful for you today. Let's stand to our feet as we read the opening scriptures this morning. I had planned to share a message with you last week called Understanding the Times, and God had a different plan. And I'm glad that he did. We had an amazing time in the presence of God, hearing some testimonies, and I have a testimony that I want to share with you in just a minute. But let's read these opening scriptures. And first one is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, stay alert. Say, stay alert. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And then 1 Peter 3:15 says this, always be prepared. Say, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And then 2 Timothy 4:2 says this, preach the word as an official messenger. Be ready when the time is right. Say, be ready when the time is right. And even when it is not, keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. Correct those who err in doctrine or behavior. Warn those who sin. Exhort and encourage those who are growing toward spiritual maturity with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the opportunity to come into your house and to open up your word and to receive from your hand. May it be so, Lord, today that as we receive your word, may the gratefulness of our heart, Lord, be the fertile soil that your word is planted within, and may it produce a harvest of righteousness and of peace and of joy in the precious Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be reseated. So before I dive in, I do want to say, Sister Betty came to me this morning, and we just sang happy birthday to her, and she said, I was watching this past week, the service online, and I saw all of these testimonies of what God had done for so many people, and she said, I do not want to be kept out on this. I want to get in on a testimony. And I said, please share. And she said that this past week she had gone to the doctor for her checkup, and that before she went, the night before that she her scheduled appointment was, she said the Lord told her very clearly that she was going to be cleared of all of the things that she had been dealing with. There were some things that she had been going through, and so she gets to the doctor's office, and the doctor pulls up her blood work, and he's looking at it, and he's looking at all of these things, and he says, there are these markers, they're this, and they're this, and they're this. And she said, doctor, what does that mean? And he said, it means that you have been cured of diabetes. You no longer have diabetes. That is a testimony, and we are so grateful for the goodness and the faithfulness of God. What a blessing, what a blessing. And we rejoice with you, Sister Betty, that God has touched your heart and touched your life in such a tremendous way. God is doing miracles. And I want you to hear this. If you got prayed for, or if you've been praying for a miracle in your life, do not lose faith. Do not give up hope. Just because you haven't seen it yet doesn't mean that it will not come about. Continue to believe God, because he is in the miracle working business. I know this to be true, and I am so grateful that he allows us to be a part of that. So we receive that in Jesus' name. So getting back to the message this morning, always ready, understanding the times, always ready. In order to have, to always be ready, in order to always be ready, you must have an understanding of the times. You must be able to anticipate what is coming and be prepared for it. This is what Jesus told the religious leaders of his day in Matthew 16, 2 and 3. He replied, when evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. How many of you understand that God knows everything? God knows everything. He is all-knowing. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 8 and 10 says, remember this, keep it in mind, take it to heart. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known what? I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. God is all-knowing, and he is sovereign. God has a time clock, and he has a calendar. How many of you know that God's time clock and God's calendar is not the same as ours? Amen? Matthew 24, 36, Jesus says this, But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. That was a little bit straightforward, right? He was just being honest. The word of God declares that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. What that means is he does have a way, and he does have a plan, and he does have a timeline. It's just not my way, my plan, and my timeline. And what does a king do? A king leads, right? A good king, at least. And what do citizens do? Citizens follow the lead of the king. The Lord gave me a word for this new year, and I'll be expounding upon it, as we come into the coming year. But the word that he spoke to me for this time was simply two words: follow me. Follow me. We are entering into a season where it will be imperative that everyone draws closer and follows the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is constantly speaking, but we need his Holy Spirit to guide us into understanding the times. How many of you believe that? Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. What did Jesus say of himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Holy Spirit guides us to Christ, who is the only way to the Father. Christ is the Word made flesh. Therefore, to understand the times, we must know the Word, and we must be guided by the Holy Spirit. If you have your YouVersion app, you can turn there, or if you have your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. We have our events online on the YouVersion app, and all of the notes are there, including the scriptures, etc. So you can always look it up there if you don't have your Bible with you. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 6 reads this way. It says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. The Apostle Paul says that we don't need him to write to us about the times and the seasons, because as children of the light, we will not be caught off guard. We will already know and be prepared. What this says to me is that God will prepare his bride for his return. God will prepare his bride for his return. Do you believe that? The question is this: are you paying attention? Are you listening? Are you following his lead? Do you understand the times? You may say, Pastor Josh, I thought God said that his ways are not our ways. How can we understand the times and the seasons? Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. But we are to know the times and the seasons. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 says this: then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for what? For signs, say for signs, and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Let's look at that verse in NIV. It says this: God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as what? Signs to mark what? Sacred times and days and years. Now, before all of you start freaking out, I'm not promoting astrology. I'm not going to ask anybody for their zodiac signs or anything like that. For everything that God has created, the enemy seeks to create a counterfeit. Do you believe that? This is what I want to share with you today. God, from the beginning of time, has sought to reveal to mankind his love, his redemption, and his seasons and his purposes. Psalm 19, verse 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They have no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. We know that the book of Ecclesiastes says that to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. Or maybe y'all thought that was a song. But God divinely set in motion a pattern to help us to understand the times and the seasons. When God called the children of Israel out of Egypt and set them apart as his chosen people, he gave them a calendar and set apart certain times as holy. He gave them specific instructions on how to observe these holy days. Now, the calendar that God gave the children of Israel is a lunar calendar as opposed to a solar calendar like the one that we have adapted and used from the Romans. The Jewish people actually have two calendars that run concurrently. Now, I promise I'm not going to get too deep in the weeds here, but this is important for us to understand for just a minute, okay? Are y'all okay with this? Are y'all going to hang with me? All right. Very good. So they actually have two calendars that run concurrently. One calendar marks the year as it begins from the beginning of the creation of the earth. Okay? So we're in like year 5,700, I don't know what it is. It's something like that. Okay? The second is a religious calendar that marks the beginning of the great feasts that God established when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And that can be found in Exodus chapter 12, too. When he's talking to them about the Passover, he said, this will be the beginning of months for you. And so there's a second, if you want to write that, jot that down in your notes, Exodus 12, 2, you can see it there. So when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, it started a second time clock. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, it started a second time clock. So we have the first time clock that marks the time from the beginning of creation. And then we have the second time clock that marks the prophetic messianic timetable of God. The prophetic messianic timetable of God. Are y'all with me? So why is all of this important? God wants his children to be aware of the times and the seasons that we are in, so that we will not get caught off guard. He wants us to be prepared so that we may always be ready. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says this, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without what? Revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Did you know that Jesus was born on a feast? He died on a feast. He was raised to life on a feast. He sent the Holy Spirit on a feast. Don't you think he'll be returning on a feast? The day of judgment will be on a feast. The marriage supper of the Lamb will be on a feast. Do you think it would be important for us to know God's time and seasons? I want us to look through just really quickly as I can, a few scriptures with these specific time tables. So Passover, we all know what Passover is, right? Exodus 12, 13 talks about how that when God said, whenever I see the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, the angel of death will pass over. I will pass over you and you will be spared. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Jesus came as the Lamb of God. What did John say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He came as the spotless lamb and was sacrificed so that his blood could be applied to our life and the angel of death would pass over so that we could be redeemed and rescued. Amen? Now, the next one is first fruits. First fruits. We find the instruction on this in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 9 through 13. And it's a time when the first of the crops are presented to the Lord. Now, I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But it says, now Christ is risen from the dead, and he becomes the what? First fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So you understand that Jesus, this is so amazing. Jesus actually rose from the dead as the first fruits from the dead. And he ascended into heaven to be received as the offering of the first fruits. I'm going to tell you why this is all important. The Jewish people celebrate these every single year. Every single year, they do the same thing. And there's so much depth in what they do. But they couldn't see that Jesus was their Messiah. They knew what was happening, but they could not discern the times. That's why it's so imperative for you and I to begin to understand this. So I'm just going broad stroking right now, okay? I'm just painting with a huge broad stroke. So the day of Pentecost, everybody knows what the day of Pentecost was? The day of Pentecost was whenever the Holy Spirit came. All of the disciples were up in the upper room and the Holy Spirit descended. But the day of Pentecost is actually the marking of the time whenever the children of Israel received the Ten Commandments from God. Did y'all know that? So that's what the celebration is about. It's the celebration of receiving of the tablets and of the receiving of the harvest in the springtime. Okay, so this is interesting. So this is what happens. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Acts 2, 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Jeremiah 31, 33, here's the prophecy of what Jesus said, or God said he was going to do. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their, where? In their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It's the new covenant. It's the receiving of the new covenant. It's the seal of the new covenant. The promised Holy Spirit literally came on the day of Pentecost. The time that God had already set aside as a day of celebration of the receiving of the covenant. Rosh Hashanah. So that was those are the spring. And that all of that happens between March, April to late May, okay? So this is, now we're going into the fall. There's three more, and we're going to rush through these as quickly as we can. So Rosh Hashanah, how many of y'all are receiving something from this? Yeah, a few of you, okay. The rest of y'all just hang tight. We'll get there. It'll all make sense at the end. So Rosh Hashanah is called the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. It's the Jewish New Year, okay? So I remember how I told you that there are two different time clocks. So Rosh Hashanah technically is the Jewish New Year. That's the one that marks from the creation of time, okay? So, but Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, and it's found in Leviticus 23, 24, but here is something, I want you to see this, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment in the twinkling of eye at what? At the last trump. For what? The trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. So the feast of Rosh Hashanah is the marking of a new beginning. It is the Feast of Trumpets. It is the new year. It is the time when God said, it's considered the days of awe. The days of awe. There are 10 days of awe. And so God has put this in place, and they celebrate this every year. The blowing of the trumpets, the sounding of the trumpets. And what they do during this time is they run around trying to make everything right. So for 10 days, if they knew that somebody's offended with them, they're going to go buy a fruit basket, a gift basket. They're going to get gift cards. They're going to go and sit down with them and have a conversation and be like, hey, look, let's work this out. It's not really that big of a deal. Let's try to figure out how we can resolve this and be at peace with each other. Why? Because it all leads up to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the day of judgment, the day of atonement. And they celebrate this every year. For the entire day of Yom Kippur, they fast, they pray, they seek God, asking for Him to forgive them of their sins and to have mercy upon them. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and 12 says, then I saw a great white throne, and He who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works for the things which were written in the book. Does that sound like the day of judgment? There's coming a day. But here's the beautiful promise. Romans 3:25 says, God presented Christ. Say, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of what? Of atonement. The day of atonement. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. And Romans 5:9 says, but much more than, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The day of atonement. The day when we stand before God and the books are opened and every man is judged according to his deeds. And then Jesus steps up and says, but wait. That one's covered. That one's covered with my blood. That one's mine. I have paid the price. I have paid the price. That one is redeemed. I have atoned for your sin. Welcome. Welcome. Isn't that beautiful? Are you grateful for that today? Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and give the Lord praise. Feast of Tabernacles. This is the last one, and then we're going to try to bring it all together. So the Feast of Tabernacles. People don't really understand what this is, but basically it's the fall harvest. Okay, so this is the time of the fall harvest. And they go out and they build these temporary dwellings, these temporary booths, and they have to dwell within them. And one of the instructions is to remind you that you are sojourners. You are pilgrims in a land. You were sojourners in the land. Okay, but let's watch this. This is really neat. So it's referred to as the temporary dwelling, Feast of Tabernacles, Festival of the Harvest, and a marriage supper. Why? Because it's an eight-day celebration where all they do is sit around and eat and drink. That sounds like a party, right? That sounds like fun. Okay, they do a little bit more than that, but you know, they it's a celebration. So Leviticus 23:34 says, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's festival of tabernacle begins and it lasts for 7 days. So it's a total of 8 days altogether. John chapter 1, verse 14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, this is really cool. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know what that word dwelt literally translates as in Greek? It means a temporary dwelling, a tent. He tabernacled among us. I'm not going to burst anybody's bubble, but I don't think that Jesus was born on Christmas, y'all. Just saying. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." Revelation 19, 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself." So we have this time of the ingathering, Rosh Hashanah, where the trumpet blows and the dead in Christ are raised and they go and they are caught away into heaven. Then we have the final judgment day, okay, when everybody stands before the throne of God and judgment is passed upon all mankind. And then we have a wedding celebration. Does that sound like something that God has already put in place? Y'all, God did this all the way back over 4,000 years ago whenever he was sitting there talking to Moses and said, this is what I want my people to do. Why? Because it's a rehearsal for something that has coming. God wants us to know his times, his seasons. Jesus was our Passover lamb. He was the first fruits offering from the dead. He sent his Holy Spirit, the seal of his new covenant, on the day of Pentecost. He is coming back when the trumpet sounds. There is coming a day of judgment, but for those who have put their hope in Jesus, it will be a day of atonement as we are made righteous before the throne of glory. And there is coming a day of celebration when we will be united with Christ at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Somebody give glory to God for these things. Hallelujah. Now, the point of all of this is that God gave us his calendar so that we can know the times and the seasons. If we are to be prepared for what is ahead, we must be led by the Spirit and we must pay attention to God's seasons and his timetable. At the beginning of this year, I told you that we were entering into a season of rest, that this was a year of rest. We focused on the scriptures in Hebrews that says that there remains a rest for the people of God. So let us labor to enter into his rest. This entire year we focused on the kingdom of God and his principles because we knew that the only way for us to enter into God's rest is to abide by, live by his kingdom principles. As I've already shared with you today, our calendar and God's calendars are different. The Jewish New Year came at the end of September, and we are now, according to God's calendar, in a new season. This year is the year of Jubilee. This year is the year of restoration. Leviticus 25, verse 10 says, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family." It's the year of jubilee. It's the year of restoration. It's the year whenever God is changing things, shifting things, the things that the enemy has been plaguing you with, the things that the enemy has stolen from you, the things that you have gone through and you've been going, God, why did this happen? Why was that allowed? Why were these things allowed to be taken from me? Why was the enemy allowed to do this? Listen to me. There is nothing that the enemy can take from you that God will not restore. There is nothing that the enemy can do to you that God will not receive glory in the end, because everything that the thief has taken must be returned, must be repaid 100-fold. And if you believe that, I want you to give glory to God for that today. It is time for restoration. It is time for us to begin to believe that God is restoring things to our lives. I don't know if that is your health, But if it is your health, I want you to begin to believe God for restoration of health. I don't know if that is a financial thing that you've been going through, but if it's your finances, I want you to begin to believe God that He is restoring to you what the enemy has stolen from you. If it's a broken relationship, if it is something that God has promised, I want you to know that He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, and God is about restoring us to abundant life. I want you to receive that this morning. It's important to understand the times and the seasons because it's the only way that we can always be ready. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How many of you know that the days are evil? It's the Holy Spirit's job to guide us, but it is incumbent of us that we apply ourselves to study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As we are closing today, we're going to take communion here in just a moment. But this is what I want us to take away from this morning. I want us to put this message into practice. So I want you to commit to the Lord that you will be more diligent in studying His word and learning to hear His voice, so that you'll be ready. That's the first thing. Secondly, I want you to commit to being more intentional about knowing the person of the Holy Spirit so that He can guide you into all truth. Will you be more intentional about that? And the third thing is I want you to prepare to receive restoration. I want you to prepare to receive restoration. It is time to enter into Jubilee. But when it is time for an accounting to happen, what do you have to have? A record. A record. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I'm not going to record, Glenn, what you did to me. You haven't done anything to me, but I'm not going to keep a record of it. Of all the wrongs that you've done to me. Just using you as an example. But everybody's going to think something now. That's the way that works. But I will definitely keep a record of everything the enemy has done, because he has to pay it back a hundredfold. Every time that the enemy has lied, every time that he's cheated, every time that he has stolen from me, I'm going to keep a record of it, because there is coming a day of reckoning. And we are in the year of Jubilee. We are in a year of restoration. So I want to encourage you to take the time to sit down and start documenting the things that the enemy has stolen from you. Not to give him credit, but to call him to pay back what he has stolen. Amen? I want you to see this last scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. As we are preparing for communion, I want the elders to go ahead and come, or the ushers to come at this time to prepare to pass out the communion. So if y'all can come and make your way here to prepare for that. We're going to pass the communion out to you, and then we'll partake together, okay? Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22 says this. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Free from accusation.
We hope that you are blessed by this message, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at My247Church. Remember, be the church 24/7.